Good morning, everyone. We're thankful to you for your presence. Very glad to see you in the house of the Lord. When I attended the Martyrs Church all those many years ago, Dr. Paisley would generally commence the meeting with us reciting together as a congregation the motto text for that year. I'm just going to read the motto text to you, just to remind you and encourage you through these words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May that be true of us all. May we keep our eyes upon the Lord himself, and may be pleased to guide us, direct us, make the way plain for each one of us that he would have us to go. 525 is our opening hymn. Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we are blessed with the fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. So 525, please, we'll stand as we sing. To still our hearts together just before the Lord as we enter into his presence in prayer. We're going to seek his face together. Father, we're mindful of the exhortation of the prophet that it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. We pray, Father, that you would plant in our hearts the desire to seek thee more. We ask for your help to continue seeking thee at the place of prayer. Pray that you'll save us from fainting. Help us, Father, to hold on, to wrestle with God as Jacob did, until the blessing we know, the blessing we experience, even as we have been singing together, our desire, Father, is that you'll send us that sound of abundance of rain. We're conscious of the barrenness that there is spiritually. We recognize, Father, the dry ground that's all around us. And we want to pray, Father, send us the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Refresh us in our own hearts and souls and our own walk with God. We pray for that reviving and refreshing to take place in our Bible reading, in our prayer times, in our quiet time, our service for Christ, even our personal witnessing to others of their need of the Saviour. Lord, we pray that we'll know that reviving, that refreshing upon this church through this year of 2024. We want to pray, Father, that you'll give to us even a visitation of God upon every department of the church. We pray for the wind of God. We're conscious, Father, of the wind that is blowing, the forecast, even for the remainder of this day. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll send us the mighty wind of God upon our testimony and upon our labours. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth, and so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Lord, we would pray that we would see and experience even the movings of the Spirit of God upon our church, upon our labours, upon the preaching of the gospel. We're asking, Father, that there will be those in our meetings, from the Sunday school, the children's meetings, the youth meetings, right up even to these Lord's Day services. We're praying for the move of the Spirit. We're praying, Father, that we will see in this year and experience those that are born again. We want to ask, Father, that you'll give us blessed and fruitful times in our efforts for the Lord. We cry, Father, help us in our own prayers, in our public prayers. Help us in our prayer meetings. We cry to thee to teach us, to pray, to lead us on with thyself, even at the throne of grace. We want to take a moment to thank you for this congregation. Thank you for all that are gathered. Thank you for our fellowship in the house of the Lord on this Sabbath morning. Praise thee for enabling us to be here. We want to acknowledge, Father, travelling mercies that you've given to us. We want to acknowledge the health that you've blessed us with that allows us to be among the Lord's people on this Sabbath morning. We want to thank you for the work in the Sunday school, the boys and girls, our superintendent and the teachers. Lord, bless their efforts. We ask that you'll add to the Sunday school. Lord, it is our burden as a congregation that we will see that work grow and strengthen. Pray for more families to come to the congregation. We pray for more children to be brought in, Father, from the community round about. We pray for children even from outside this church. We pray for children that have no gospel influence upon their lives, even to be gathered in. We want to pray that, Father, you would overrule in your sovereignty in the circumstances of children round about us, and that you would bring them, Father, even in a miraculous way, along to the Sunday school and along to the children's meetings. We commit the remainder of this week into your hands. And Father, all that will take place, we pray for the Lord's presence in all of our meetings. We do thank you, Father, for the week past. Thank you for the meetings held and conducted. And we commit this incoming week into your hands, praying you'll come and guide us, come and lead the way. Lord, we ask that you'll give us much fruit. We recognize, Father, we're in that place where we're nearly accepting of the days in which we're found. We're accepting, Father, of the lack of blessing that there is, so few that are being saved. We ask thee to forgive us for that. We pray, Father, you'll stir our hearts, give us a longing and a burden for a greater work, for greater opportunities, for a greater experience of God's power again upon our meetings. We pray, Father, give us a desire and help us to seek thee, even for souls to be saved in our meetings. Help us to hold on. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to lack faith, even to make those requests and those petitions, even before the Lord. We ask thee, Father, for a soul-winning ministry to be known in this church and to be known in every department of it. Pray you'll guide the families here. Think, Father, of burdens, decisions, circumstances that are very difficult for families. And we pray, Father, give wisdom. Grant to them the help of God, even in the words of our motto text. Our prayer is that you will direct their paths, show them very clearly the way that you would have them to go. We're mindful, Father, of those that can't be here because of sickness and old age. Lord, our prayer is be near to them. May they know the presence of the Lord. We ask that they'll be conscious that the Lord is with them, of your good hand upon them. May they know your grace and your peace in these days of weakness and limitation. And Lord, we ask that they would be encouraged. We pray that they might hear of answers to their prayers, that they might rejoice, even in the blessing of God, resting upon the testimony of the gospel here in this place. So we're asking, Lord, be with us. Continue with us in the meeting today. Give us help. Grant us wisdom. We pray that you'll give us utterance. Give us every word, even from yourself. We offer these our prayers today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalm 130 we're going to sing together. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. My voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplication's voice, give an attentive ear. The Psalm 130 is the tune Martyrdom, and we're standing as we sing, please.
Open my son.
We're turning in the scriptures, please. The book of Deuteronomy, and the third chapter. It's the closing section of the chapter that we want to read together. The name Deuteronomy has the idea of the second giving of the law. Remember that this is Moses' final address to the children of Israel before the Lord took him home to glory in a very unusual manner. So Deuteronomy 3, we're beginning at the 18th verse. Let's hear the Lord's word. He says, "And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall ye return, every man unto his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor." So we're ending there this morning, the close of the chapter, and we're sure the Lord will add his blessing today to every heart to this, the public reading of his word. We take a moment to express our sincere thanks to all that are present in the meeting. We want to welcome you to the service, welcome you to the Lord's house. We do so in the name of our Lord Jesus, the one who is the sole King and head of his church. And our prayer is that you will feel his presence in the meeting, and that you'll hear his voice speaking to you, especially as we meditate upon his word. It's good to see the children and the young people. We appreciate both your presence at Sunday school and Bible classes, and also here in the morning service. And we pray that you'll be blessed, and we pray that that's a habit that you formed as a child, that you'll continue all the days of your life. We want to welcome all that are watching the service on the live stream, some of our own congregation that are unable to be with us. We want you to know that we're thinking of you. You're much in our prayers, and some that are watching much further afield, we're encouraged by your interest in these meetings. Just to make you aware, or mention to you, we have decided to cancel the evening service today. There is a severe weather warning that is in place. They're anticipating very stormy, very windy conditions, 60 miles an hour plus winds from tea time today until the early hours of tomorrow morning. They are difficult decisions to make in the circumstances, but we're thinking of the safety of the congregation, those particularly that travel in from a distance, some practical issues as well, and we feel it's wisest not to have the meeting. That will save you as well the dilemma this evening of deciding whether to go out, whether to leave your home and travel to the service. So we do think it's wisest. We ask you to make that known. There'll be some that are not here today, not here at the service this morning. We're good to see all that are present, such a good number even in the circumstances, but please make that known to others in your family, your friends, that there will be no evening service here in the church tonight. In the will of the Lord, all the other meetings for the incoming week will take place as usual. Tomorrow night, 7:30, is the church committee, the meeting of the church committee downstairs in the church hall. 7:15 on Tuesday evening is both the bright hours here at the church and also down in the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday night at 8:00 is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We're going to have another report on one of the departments of the church. Our brother, Mr. Ken Hartley, is going to bring a report on the media ministry of the congregation. We're looking forward to that report, to all that our brother will have to say to us, the updates. It is a vital part of the ministry of the church, and it has grown, especially since the pandemic. So do keep that in mind on Wednesday night. Come and hear that report by our brother Ken. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship are going up to Market Hill. Every year at the end of January, the Market Hill Church has an annual youth praise service. So that will be taking place this coming Friday night. The singer is Miss Charlotte Kake, and the preacher is the Reverend Roger Higginson, the minister of the Lisburn congregation. So just to make the young people aware of that, the plan is that you're meeting on the Mall and planning to leave the Mall about 7:30 on Friday night. So encourage all of the young people to go along to Market Hill. Next Lord's Day, the 28th of January, 10:40, Sunday School and Bible classes. The services at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the half hour of prayer before both meetings, and I hope to be the preacher myself at both of those services. Just to make an appeal for more of the ladies to help with the catering. That's the catering after some of the meetings when we're visiting speakers and missionaries, and at the ladies' fellowship meeting on the monthly basis and so on. We want to thank all the ladies that are involved in that ministry. Remember the promise of the Saviour, that even a cup of cold water that is given in the name of a disciple will not go without its reward. So we pray that all that are involved will be encouraged, and you'll receive that full reward from the hands of the Saviour. We want you to know we appreciate the work that you do in that regard. We want as many as possible of the ladies to be involved in the catering, just to help share the load. So if you want to be added to the rota, there is a sheet in the porch, just there on the table in the porch. Please put your name on that list as soon as possible. And we do thank our sister Sarah Irwin for all her labours in overseeing and arranging all the catering after those services, all the catering arrangements. We want Sarah to know that that is very much appreciated. Wednesday night past, we had our brother, Mr. David McCauley, with us doing a deputation for them as a family going out to Uganda in the will of God a little later this year. So the offering so far has come to £788.75. We want to express our sincere thanks for your generosity. Remember, you can still contribute to that offering if you haven't been able to do so. If you weren't able to be out on Wednesday night, put the gift in an envelope, mark it for the Macaulays, put it in the offering plate. Their prayer cards are available. There's some that have been placed in the porch. Take one of their prayer cards as you leave. And remember, too, the importance of the covenant support for the Macaulays and for all of the missionaries. Cut off that little section at the end. Send it down to Mrs. Graham in the mission board office. And remember, just that a small amount been sent every month is a great help and encouragement to the missionaries. Remember, Pastor Maxwell's new book on Dr. Bill Woods, The Life of Dr. Woods, there's still some copies available. $6.95 is the price. There's a sheet there for you in the porch to put your name on if you take a copy or copies. Remember, too, just the other literature that is there. The Vision magazine, the current edition, is available. There's some bookmarks and some little cards from LTBS. Those contain especially the details of the recording sessions that they have planned for this incoming year. Just to emphasize that, they do need folk to come and sit in the congregation. So to help, they make those dates known well in advance. Take that upon your heart. It would encourage them very much just to have a good number present in the congregation for all of those sessions. And remember, too, that there are the flyers from the mission board for the appeal. That's the building and vehicle appeal for Uganda, to provide accommodation and a vehicle for the Macaulays, especially at this time. But all the details are on that flyer. Please take one of those as well. We read the motto card, we read the motto text at the start of the service. There's still a few of those cards available. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago when we preached on the motto text, didn't get a card, they're there on the table. See the men as you're going from the service, and they'll provide you with one. Pray for Dr. and Mrs. Cook. We have mentioned them in the midweek services. Dr. Cook was in hospital. He was in the Ulster Hospital receiving some treatment. When he was taken into hospital, Mrs. Cook had to be taken into a nursing home in Castlewellan just for some care. So Dr. Cook has been released from hospital, but they're both in the nursing home now down in Castlewellan. The plan is that that's for a short period, just to give Dr. Cook a little bit of time to recuperate and recover his strength again. And they are hopeful that they will be able to return again to their home there in Newcastle. It will be at the end of next month 30 years since Dr. Cook's retirement from the congregation here. Some of you were present at that service at which Dr. Paisley preached. That was at the end of February back in 1994. If he spared to the beginning of March, he will be 95 years of age. Remember, we had the special meeting for them 10 years ago when he was 20 years retired. That was a special time, and we were encouraged by all that came, and especially what Dr. Cook had to say to us that night. So remember the Lord's servants in your prayers. Our brother, Mr. Noel Shields, would value your prayers as well. He had a little fall yesterday, and it resulted in him breaking his wrist. So that's a wee bit of a setback just for our brother in this new year, with all that has been planned, all the meetings. So do remember our brother Noel, that he'll have a speedy recovery and know the Lord's presence and the Lord's grace just at this time. I think those are all the announcements we need to make to you. 515, please. The hymn 515. Think of the words as we sing them together. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready his service to do? We'll leave out verse 3, so 1, 2 and 4, standing as we sing, please. Let's just pray together as we come to the scriptures. Father, we would make these words the burden, the prayer of our hearts today. We pray that our lives will be a blessing, a channel of blessing to all around, to everyone that we meet from day to day. We pray that we'll be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Pray that those that we meet and deal with will see, not just here, but see in our lives much of the grace of God. Lead us on with yourself to that end. We pray for Dr. and Mrs. Cook today. Lord, be near to your servants. We thank you for them. Thank you for the memory of their lives, their testimonies, our brother's ministry and influence. May they know your presence. Grant them grace and strength. Remember Brother Noel at this time. You know our frame, Father, and we pray that our brother will have a speedy recovery from the injury. Pray that he would know that the Lord is with him. Grant him your peace in his heart, even at this time. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Thank you for the ladies of the church here. Remember, Paul could speak of those women which labored with him in the gospel. And we thank you for all the labors of the ladies of this congregation. Bless their hearts, encourage them in the work that they do. We pray, Father, for more ladies even to be involved in the catering ministry of this church. We pray that you might strengthen it, even put that upon hearts just at this time. We ask thee, Father, too, to remember your servants, the Macaulays. We pray that you'll encourage them at this time of deputation. Keep them safe, we ask, as they travel. We want to ask, Father, meet their every need. Remember Miss McAfee, as she's returned to Uganda, taking up the ministry there. We pray, Father, you will encourage our sister. Think of all that's to be done in these next few weeks before the school term recommences again. And Lord, we commit ourselves into your keeping. We pray for safety. We think of this winter time. We think, Father, of the extreme weather that we have experienced, will be experiencing. We're glad we can commit ourselves into your hands. And we pray for travelling mercies. We pray, Father, for every family, every member of our families, that you'll preserve them in this day and in this week, in their going out and their coming in. Lord, answer these our prayers. Come, be with us now as we come to the Word of God. Open the Scriptures. And Lord, we pray that we would receive today a word from your mouth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 3, please. The words of verse 28. Or our text this morning. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So the words, especially in the opening line, but charge Joshua and encourage him. I want you to note those words, encourage him. I want to speak to you from the Word of God this morning about encouragement. And especially I want to bring a challenge to your hearts about encouraging one another in this Christian life. Encouraging one another as believers. Encouraging one another in the church and in the work of the gospel. When we speak of encouraging one another, that is seeking maybe to cheer someone up, to hearten them, maybe to boost their morale and their circumstances and in their labours for the Saviour. As you think of that, just take a moment and ask yourself the question, when was the last time? Can you think of when it was? When was the last time you actually encouraged, specifically, definitely encouraged another person, another believer, in the things of God? Maybe it's so long ago you can't even recall when it was. Did you encourage someone perhaps by something that you did, something that you said? Encouraged them even in a very small way. You think of David at the time that he was at Ziklag. Whenever Ziklag was destroyed, at that time David's family was all carried away. So too the families, the belongings of all the men that were with him. The Bible says of David at that time, he encouraged himself in the Lord as God. And it's a sad thing, sad observation, brethren and sisters, but many have to encourage themselves. Even many Christians have to encourage themselves. Why is that? Well, it's because no one else, and I underline the word no one, no one else actually takes the time to encourage them. None of their family, none of their friends, none even in the church of Jesus Christ. So I ask you the question again, ponder it carefully. It's an important question. When last did you encourage someone else? Did you give someone in this past week, the last 7 days, since the last Lord's Day, did you give someone a little bit of encouragement in their life and in your circumstances? You may be good at criticizing. You criticize everyone, criticize everything, always finding fault. Even worse than that, always looking for faults in others, always running others down, never see any good in anyone, never see any good in anything that anybody does. Good at criticizing, good at complaining. You're never happy. Always lodging complaints, always grumbling, murmuring. Think of the hymn, we grumble the whole week through. Is that true of you? Nothing's ever done right. Never a good word to say about anybody. Never a good word to say about anything that is done. Anything that happens. A complainer. Is that you? Is that a good description of you this morning? Good at criticizing, good at complaining, maybe even good at discouraging. The 10 spies that came back from searching out the land, the Bible records they discouraged the heart of the people. I wonder, is that how you live? Is that your attitude? Always discouraging Christians. Think of someone trying to do a work for the Lord. They're full of enthusiasm, and you put them back. You put them off. You keep them down. You knock the heart out of them. You're really a stumbling block to that dear person in their efforts for the Lord. Regardless of what's proposed, what's suggested, you come along and pour cold water on the idea. A discourager. Tell me, who did you discourage this week? Is that the reason why they're not here? Is that the reason why someone that once came to this church no longer fellowships with us, no longer meets with us, because of the constant discouragement they received? Is that the way that you live? Things we've just set out. You're a criticizer, a complainer, a discourager. If it is, how sad. You need to examine yourself, as the Bible says. Examine your own heart. Consider your ways. It's easy to do those things. Very easy, brethren and sisters, to criticize, complain, discourage. Let me tell you what's needed. What is needed, especially in the days in which we're found in the work of God. Encouragers is what is needed. Those that can be described in that way. Remember the great example in the New Testament church, Barnabas, the son of consolation, or the son of exhortation. He stood out, was known as the great encouragement, great encourager of God's people. I wonder, could you be described like that? Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for rebuke. There is a place for pointing out error. You think of Paul, he went to Peter. The book of Galatians records, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Remember what Paul said to Titus? He said, rebuke them sharply. So it's true, brethren and sisters. Let us never forget it. Sin must be challenged. Sin needs to be rebuked. If someone is doing wrong, if they're disobeying God's word, it's no good telling them they're a great fella, encouraging them in what they're doing. But all other things being equal, people need encouragement. Just think of yourself for a moment. Don't you need encouragement? We all need it. And if you need encouragement, you can be sure those sitting around you need that encouragement as well. So don't be selfish. Shouldn't just think of yourself. I want to encourage you today to seek to be a blessing. Seek to be a help. Seek to be an encouragement to others. That's what our text is teaching us. Deuteronomy 3:28. Remember that Moses, because of his sin, his disobedience of the Lord, was not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. He was not allowed to lead the people in to the promised land. But young Joshua was going to lead the nation into Canaan. And Moses is spoken to here. He's telling the children of Israel what the Lord had said to him. Moses was to encourage Joshua. Just notice the words of our text. Encourage him. I pray the Lord will write those two words on your heart this morning. That's a great work. Moses was to encourage Joshua to lead the children of Israel in the great work that God had given him to do. Moses, the man of God, was to be an encourager, just like Barnabas. That was God's will for Moses. And I want to emphasize to you today, so should we, brethren and sisters. Here's a command to obey. Here's an example for us all to follow. Seek to be like Moses in this respect. Encourage those who are around you in the church and those who are around you from day to day. Think of your children. We tell them off. We shout at them. I know there's a time. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place. I'm not saying that you should let them do as they like. But there are times that those children need to be encouraged. As parents, we can be very quick to quote the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. But remember, brethren and sisters, the New Testament also teaches you're not to provoke your children to wrath. You're to be wise. You're to be very careful. You're to be very tender in the way that you deal with your children, you handle them. Sometimes we can be too hard. Sometimes we can be too severe. Children need to be encouraged. And the same is true of young people. It's good to have young people in the church. We thank God for every young person in this congregation. Remember, there are some churches that have none, no young people. So I say to you this morning, take it upon your heart. Be an encourager of the youth. Be an encourager of the young people, all of the young people of the congregation. We need to guard against always being down on the young people of the church. If you read the life story of Sir Walter Scott, became one of Scotland's greatest writers. You know, whenever Walter Scott went to school, he wasn't seen as being very bright. The man that became one of the greatest writers in Scotland, he was very slow at learning, a slow learner whenever he was at school. He was often standing in what they called in those days the dunce corner, and they would place a silly hat on his head to make him feel a little bit stupid. But one day, when Walter Scott was about 12 or 14, he happened to be in a house where there was a number of very well-known literary people that were present. One of them was the famous Scottish poet Robbie Burns. Burns was standing looking at a picture, and at the bottom of the picture there was two little couplets of a verse that were written. Burns had never seen them before, and he made the inquiry of all that were present, who was the author? Who wrote these verses, and what is the rest of the poem? Well, all of the famous literary people, nobody knew the answer. But Walter Scott did, and very quietly and timidly, he stepped over beside Robbie Burns, and he gave him the name of the author, and he quoted the entire poem to him. And Burns and everybody that was present was taken back. And Burns said to young Scott, Barney, you'll be a great man in Scotland one day. And you see that little statement, that little word of encouragement, it really changed the life of Walter Scott, that young lad. His life went in a different direction. It just took that little bit of encouragement from someone so noted, someone of such influence in his life. Young people need to be encouraged, brethren and sisters. The office bearers of the church need to be encouraged. You may never have realized that. They need encouragement too. Did you ever encourage an elder? Did you ever encourage a deacon? Did you ever take time to encourage any of the leaders of any of the departments of our church? Maybe you've ridiculed the office bearers, talked about them, criticized them. I'm sure of that. I'm sure of it. One of Dr. Cook's great statements in the Whitfield College was, when you go home on a Sunday morning, don't think for one moment the congregation's going home to chew over their Sunday dinner. They're going home to chew over you. He gave us that bit of counsel, that bit of advice, that warning in those days in the classes. It's true. Office bearers get ridiculed. But I want to ask you this morning, what about encouragement? You ever encourage any of the office bearers? Now, I'm not talking about licking up to them. And I'm not talking about blowing the head off them. Just a word, a deed of appreciation for the work, the efforts, the very difficult job the very difficult decisions, and I've highlighted one of those to you with regard to the evening service tonight. Very difficult job, very difficult decisions. If the meetings have been a blessing, if you've been encouraged by something that has happened in the church, then mention that. Tell the men, thank them for their efforts and their work in arranging those things. You think too, visitors need to be encouraged. Can I stress that to you? Visitors need encouragement when they come into the meetings, those that come in among us. I want to encourage you to make those people welcome, make them feel at home. Mr. Spurgeon and his great congregation had people in different parts of the church watching for visitors so that they would not leave the service without a handshake and without a word of welcome. So I want to encourage you to do that. Make visitors feel at home. Take the time to seek them out. Speak to them. The warm handshake. You know, sometimes visitors come, but they never come back. Why is that? You ever think of that? Ask yourself. In many cases, it's because nobody bothered. Nobody bothered. Do you remember the story? I know I've told you it before. Let me emphasize it. It's very relevant. The preacher that preached one Sunday on the theme, "Shall we know one another in heaven?" What a subject that is. There was somebody in the service, came to the minister afterwards and said they enjoyed the message, they profited from it. They suggested to the minister, maybe next Sunday you would preach on a different theme. Shall we know one another on earth? I have come to this church now for 3 weeks, and not one person has spoken to me yet. It's not sad, men and women. Don't be too quick to condemn. Just ask yourself how many visitors that come you take the time to speak to. If there are visitors in the meeting, take the time to speak to those people, brethren and sisters. Think about new converts, those new in the faith, recently restored to fellowship with the Lord. What's your attitude to those people? Are you skeptical, full of unbelief? Say, we'll wait and see if they go on. Time will tell if they're really saved. Why not seek to encourage those people? Sometimes new converts haven't gone on with God. Why is that? You ever consider that question? We're quick to blame them. Maybe we're to blame. Maybe we're the ones at fault. One reason sometimes why new converts don't go on is Christians shoot them down at every opportunity. Instead of helping them on, encouraging them on. That's a very serious thing, brethren and sisters. You think of little babies, little infants, physically. Isn't it true that a little baby needs special care, needs special attention, can't be left to itself? Well, so too it is spiritually with babes in Christ. They need that special care as well. You think of those facing trial. Peter speaks about the fiery trial which is to try you. Those passing through very severe circumstances in their life, their home. Just think for a moment, what have you done for those people? Maybe laugh behind their back. Maybe said, serves them right. Maybe talked about it, spread it all around the country. And you call yourself a Christian? Have you no compassion? No love? No concern? You know, we sang those words. Did you think of them as you sang them? Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? When you meet people every day, especially those in severe circumstances, do they feel the love of God flowing through you? Does the love of God touch them because of their experience of you, because of your life and the way that you deal with them? The Bible says of King Josiah that he was tender-hearted. That's what we need, brethren and sisters, a tender heart. Sometimes the heart can be so hard. People in severe circumstances need to be encouraged. They need to have their hands strengthened. They need to be lifted up. We need to lift up those that are cast down. So I urge you all today, take these words in your heart. The words of charge that the Lord gave to Moses with regard to Joshua, encourage him. Be an encourager, the one of the other. You ask me, how can I encourage others? Well, that's really a subject in itself. But let me just briefly give you some suggestions. You can encourage by your words. Say something encouraging. You know, the reality, we can get so out of practice that we find that strange. We find that something hard to do, just to be nice. Just to say a nice thing to somebody. Speak kind words. Be ye kind one to another. That's an exhortation of God to his people. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What about expressing appreciation? Tell someone how well they have done. Use words that will help them on in the things of God. You think of the great Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms. Hard for us to imagine the circumstances he found himself in. That great gathering, pretty much single-handedly taking a stand for God. That we still feel the effects and experience the blessing of to this very day, more than 500 years later. You know, as Martin Luther went into the Diet of Worms that day, there was an old general, an old army officer, man of God. And he spoke to Martin Luther just briefly as he passed him by. Spoke to him with words of encouragement. He simply said to Luther, "The Lord will be with thee." And that was a great help to the man of God. Just that simple statement of encouragement. Great help to him as he went into the Diet of Worms. So use words of encouragement. Let me encourage you all. Remember that when we hear the word of God, we ought to obey it. We ought to put it into practice. So let me encourage you all. Say something encouraging today to somebody else. Say something encouragement even to somebody else in the congregation before you leave the house of God this morning. Say something encouraging maybe to a member of your family at a later time through the day. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." And often that's the best part, or the part of the verse that's best known. But remember, he went on to say, exhorting one another, or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a reference to the day of Christ, the coming of the Savior. And it's an indication that as time goes by, as the end draws near, the days are going to become darker. The days for Christians are going to become more difficult. There's going to be a greater need for that exhortation, that encouragement, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that's what we're to do, brethren and sisters, when we assemble together. We're not to criticize and complain. We're to exhort one another. And I want to encourage you to do that today. How often have you done that? It's not a good test after a meeting. When you're meeting brethren and sisters, going into the service, going out of the service, how many times have you exhorted, encouraged one another? So you can say something encouraging. And what about a letter of encouragement? Write a little note. Take the time to do it. Send a little card. Thank someone for their help. Thank someone for their labors. Thank them for being the blessing that they have been. The modern equivalent, of course, is the text, the email. so much quicker, so much simpler. You know, the benefit of a written message is that it can be kept, can be taken out again at a later time and read again. And the message can be an encouragement that lingers on then for many years to come. So in that way, that card, that letter can be a continual encouragement to the person that you have given it to. So that's one of the benefits of writing a message. And that's one of the benefits that we have as believers of the written word of God. It's a continual encouragement to our hearts. Many years ago, in London, in Westminster, a young man, newly elected as an MP, stood up to make his maiden speech. He trembled and he stumbled and he stammered his way through the things that he had to say. When he was finished and he sat down, he thought he'd made a fool of himself, thought it'd been a disaster. But one of the most senior members of that house sat down and wrote him, that was poor English, wasn't it? Wrote him a little note, and he simply said, "You'll do." And that just made all the difference, to come from the man that it did. That simple note made all the difference to that young man. So encouraged by your words, whether spoken or written. What about a gift? What about a visit? A kind deed? Even an expression? Remember in the book of Nehemiah, his countenance was sad. People take notice of our expressions. So encourage someone even by a pleasant expression, a little smile, to encourage them in the things that they're doing. So I want to encourage you all, brethren and sisters, as the Lord said to Moses that he was to be an encourager of the young man, Joshua, let me encourage you today to be an encourager of one another in the Christian life and in the things of God. The Lord said to Moses, encourage him. And I want to urge you today to do the same. Obey the command of Scripture. Follow the example that Moses, the man of God, sets for us here in this place. 510 is our closing hymn. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. So 1, 2, and 5 of 510, standing to sing, please.
Hearts are on, and
Father, we do praise thee for the time we've had in your house and especially around your word. Remember that you've said that we're to be vessels unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Lord, we ask that we might be such a vessel. Put your hand upon us, mould us and shape us. We pray, Father, that you'll make us more like Christ in all that we would do. We ask that we might be the channel of blessing, even of which we've sung. Help us, Father, all to be exhorters and encouragers, especially of the people of God in the days in which we're found. We pray for encouragements from thy hand in our labours. We ask, Father, for answers to our prayers. And we pray, Father, as we're a blessing the one to the other, it'll please thee to take us and use us as a church and make us a channel of blessing to this city and to this community all around it. Answer these our cries. We commit ourselves now into your hands, into your keeping. As we leave the house of God, give us journeying mercies. Watch over us each one. Guide our footsteps. Bless our homes and families with your presence. And Lord, bless all our homes with thy salvation. May every member be found in Christ. And now we ask that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.